And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin.
And we've got a great hour for you this week. Obviously, we're going to be catching up on the news and breaches and all of that. But our main thrust is actually going to be on the Chinese Olympics. As you know, this is just about to launch here as I'm sitting here in very late January, early February talking to you. And we are seeing already cybersecurity problems that the entire world, especially the athletes that we are sending, not to mention all of the support teams and news organizations and everything, we are starting to see cybersecurity problems coming out of China. We want to dive into that because this is a symptom of a much greater problem we have with China. That is our deep dive of the week. You don't want to miss it. Stick around. And as always, let's start with the news. And in 5G news, I'm basically asking the question, why can't the United States get it together with 5G infrastructure? And this is absolutely nuts. Now, here's what's going on. CEOs from major U.S. airlines, including American, Delta, United, and Southwest, warn that the impending deployment of 5G spectrums on January 19th, meaning this has come and gone, but obviously very important, and I haven't talked to you since then. Basically, this could cause catastrophic disruptions for flights across the country. Now, this warning was also signed by shipping companies that have obviously massive fleets, including UPS, FedEx, and others, and this was issued in a letter from the CEOs seen by Reuters and other news publications, which said that both commercial and cargo flights could be affected. Now, the letter was sent to Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, the FCC chairwoman, Jessica Rosen-Morsell, and FAA Administrator Steve Dixon, the White House National Economic Council Director Brian Deese, and a few others. Now, the 5G spectrum in question is known as the C-band, and AT&T and Verizon's deployments went live on Wednesday, January 19, after suffering multiple previous delays. At the core of this issue are fears that the new C-band airwaves could interfere with sensitive radar altimeters on certain aircraft. Altimeters obviously are critical for landing, especially when visibility is limited, and failures of this system are actually linked to a fatal crash in 2019 of Turkish Airlines, one of their airplanes. And I quote, airplane manufacturers have informed us that there are huge swaths of operating fleet that may need to be indefinitely grounded as a result of 5G deployments. Immediate intervention is needed to avoid significant operational disruptions to air passengers, shippers, supply chain, and delivery of needed medical supplies that could cause chaos and strand tens of thousands of Americans overseas. Now, according to the article that I'm quoting here, The Verge, without more safeguards, the rollout of the 5G spectrum could, quote, result in significant restrictions on 787s, 777s, 737s, and regional aircraft in major cities, and cause hundreds of thousands of flight cancellations and disruptions for customers across the industry in 2022, and also the suspension of cargo flights into these locations. Now, the FAA issued a rule basically in early December that kept flights from landing in poor visibility conditions if they're landing at an airport where there's deemed to be enough interference that their altimeters were not reliable. At that time, it wasn't clear which airports and planes would be affected by this rule, particularly as Verizon and AT&T have been continuously negotiating with the airline industry over potential disruptions. United Airlines is calling for 5G to be implemented, quote, everywhere in the country on January 19th, except within approximately 2 miles of airport runways at affected airports. This indicates the size of this buffer could be reduced after further analysis by the FAA. And on January 3rd, Verizon and AT&T previously agreed to take steps to mitigate the potential effect on aviation, including placing buffer zones around 50 airports for 6 months. They agreed to halt 5G rollouts at even more towers, basically around the week of January 19th, after the airline's industry basically put out this letter. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. C-band spectrum, the 5G spectrum that is in question here, that essentially United American et al. Are basically talking about and freaking out over, this has already been rolled out in nearly 40 countries without causing altimeter failures, according to tech trade groups. And United Airlines says basically the right government policies could allow for safe deployment in the United States. And so which is it? If we have 40 countries and quite frankly, the world is uniform on essentially a lot of standards for airlines, meaning, you know, if you're flying to various airports, you have to meet safety requirements. The entire world's air transport system, for example, is standardized on one language, which happens to be English. And so by virtue of that, you have these standardizations in place. An altimeter is an altimeter. I don't care if you're sitting in the United States or France or China or wherever you are. And so why can 40 countries around the globe with the same technology for air travel essentially get it together in a way that the United States, quite frankly, can't? That doesn't make sense to me. I'd love to hear an answer on this. We'll see if we get one. But heads up to you, basically the C-band spectrum around airports here in the United States has not been deployed, even though it might be deployed in your neighborhood, assuming you are more than 2 miles away from an airport. So we'll see where this goes. I don't know why the United States can't get it together. Maybe it's a whole bunch of red tape, but there you go. That is your 5G / airline news of the week. And in big tech news, and I swear I could do a deep dive on this one as well, big tech steals intellectual property with almost no consequences. And this is actually coming from a great article by Adam Mossoff writing for TechCrunch. And this really, I think, is something that we need to dive into deeper. But this is what's going on right now. And this just came to light within the last month or so. The U.S. International Trade Commission ruled on January 6th that Google infringed on Sonos's, that's just the audio maker, you've probably seen their commercials, Google infringed on Sonos's patented innovations in wireless speaker technology. And it basically sounds like it might be an obscure legal ruling, but it's really not, because it confirms the problem that threatens essentially America's innovation economy, and that is intellectual property theft. And essentially, the contention here that they've got is this. This is Mr. Mossoff's logic, and I will quote directly. Big tech thus takes what it wants. It then uses scorched earth litigation tactics to beat up on complaining intellectual property owners. It drags out litigation over many years and imposes massive litigation costs on intellectual property owners seeking justice. Many IP owners don't even file a lawsuit. They know it's ruinous and self-defeating to try to protect what is rightfully theirs. And you may think that Sonos is this massive multi-billion dollar corporation because, you know, you've seen their videos or you've seen their ads. They've got slick marketing. From what I understand, they actually have really good speakers too. I do not own a pair of Sonos, but the article from TechCrunch dives into the relationship where Google basically entered into a partnership with Sonos. Essentially, the nuts and bolts of this, and again, you can go read this in TechCrunch by Adam Mossoff. The nuts and bolts was Google stole the intellectual property of how these speakers were operating it, integrated it into their own speakers, and then essentially sold them for less. And Sonos is suing them because while they're smaller, way smaller than Google, they have the resources to do this. And so by virtue of that, here it is. But the problem that we have overall with this is that, to Mr. Mossoff's point, is that if I have this intellectual property and I've got a patent on it and it's sitting here getting ripped off by Google or Facebook or, you know, take your pick, they can tie me up for a decade, you know, in court with lawyers as I am trying to just defend this, saying, hey, they stole from me and I want this back, and I might not see a single dime. It is scorched earth. I do not have the resources. You know, if, you know, we're talking about a $1 trillion company, you know, versus like, you know, 100-aire or 1,000-aire, not even a millionaire. And that's what we're seeing. So these innovative ideas are being stolen. And on top of that, you know, we also have issues with China doing those kinds of things. But this specifically is big tech. It's a huge problem. I think I'm going to do a deep dive on this one in the future. And there you go. Just so much interesting news. But that is your big tech news of the week. And in Facebook news, and I swear this is exactly what we all need right now, Facebook is soon going to own the world's fastest artificial intelligence supercomputer. Wow. I really, really don't want them to have this, but here we are. And here's what's going on. Social media conglomerate Meta, aka Facebook, is the latest tech company to build an AI supercomputer, a high-speed computer designed specifically to train other machine learning systems. Now, the company says its new AI Research Supercluster, or RSC, is already among the fastest machines of its type, and when it's completed in mid-2022, will be the world's fastest. And according to Mark Zuckerberg, aka data miner in chief, Meta has developed what we believe is the world's fastest AI supercomputer. We're calling it RSC for AI Research Supercluster, and it'll be complete later this year. Now, the news demonstrates the absolute centrality of artificial intelligence research to companies like Meta. Rivals like Microsoft and Nvidia have already announced their own AI supercomputers, which are slightly different from what we think of as a regular supercomputer. Now, RSC will be used to train a range of systems across Meta's businesses, from content moderation algorithms used to detect hate speech on Facebook and Instagram to augmented reality features that will one day be available in the company's future AR hardware. And I'm actually going to be doing a deep dive on the metaverse. It might be my next show or the one after that, but believe me, there is a lot of things to be worried about, as interesting and cool as that technology possibly is. We've got to marry the good with the bad. You can't say you haven't been told if you listen to me here on the radio. And yes, also getting back to this, Meta says that RSC will be used to design experiences for the metaverse, the company's insistent branding for the interconnected series of virtual spaces from offices to online arenas and more. And I quote once again, RSC will help Meta's AI researchers build new and better AI models that can learn from trillions of examples, work across hundreds of different languages, seamlessly analyze text, images, and video together, develop new augmented reality tools, and much more. Now, before the end of 2022, though, Phase 2 of RSC will be complete, and at that point, it'll contain about 16,000 total GPUs, or graphical processing units, and will be able to train AI systems, quote, with more than a trillion parameters on data sets as large as an exabyte. That is an absolute massive amount of firepower. This raw number of GPUs only provides a narrow metric for the system's overall performance, but for comparison's sake, Microsoft's AI supercomputer was basically built in conjunction with the research lab OpenAI, and they have 10,000 GPUs. So you are looking at a massive Facebook super array here that will be able to do a whole bunch of stuff, including data mine you that much more efficiently. And make no mistake, the metaverse isn't just some fun virtual AR augmented reality place for you to hang out in. It is data mining on steroids with a rocket launcher compared to the vast amount of data mining that Facebook is doing. Again, I will be doing a deep dive on that. You don't want to miss this, especially if you've got kids that are going to be very much living and dying on Meta. And quite frankly, so many people just have never seen Wall-E, and it shows. And there we go. So that is your Facebook/Meta/ I wish it wasn't happening, but it actually is, news of the week. And before we head over to the next segment, I wanted to let you know, and I've done this in a couple of shows, and I keep being reminded to do this, and I always forget. Basically, if you didn't know, I put out content on a daily basis, not just here on the radio where you're listening to me, but actually I put it quite a lot of places, daily podcasts and videos on some of the latest trends, technology, cybersecurity, privacy, all these kinds of things I keep day to day. And some of the segments that I do for my news section or even my breaches of the week every Sunday gets translated into this show. But I do this as essentially a labor of love. You know, I don't have any kind of monetization anywhere. I just do it to keep people informed and to keep everybody interested. But you can find me basically on Twitter or Facebook at @NickAESP or on LinkedIn and YouTube at @NickEspinoza. And please follow me. I'd love to basically get a shout out from you and you know, send me a message or whatever it is. But I do content daily and I hope you guys enjoy it. And so that is my quick blurb.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for Breaches of the Week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at @NickAESP. Again, that's @NickAESP. Or you can email questions@securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions@securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, Let's begin.
And the last couple of weeks in data breaches, as usual, has been absolutely nuts. Now, I'm going to be full disclosure here. I've actually missed some of these data breaches. I don't know if you can hear in my voice, but I was actually sick for the last few days before this radio show, so I didn't get a chance to compile all of that. But we've got about a week and a half worth of the last 2 weeks worth of data breaches. And believe me, there are some big ones here, and this is super important. And as always, I'd like to thank the following people that sent me a lot of this information. And if you have something, as I mentioned in my preamble, please send it my way, and I will give you a shout out here as well. So Barrett Peters, Scott Newberger, Jacqueline Wolf, and Chris Fallon. Guys, thank you very much for this. And with that, let's start with crypto.com. You've probably seen their commercials. I think they now own a stadium in Los Angeles, of all places. And here's what's going on. Cryptocurrency trading platform crypto.com formally confirmed about 2 weeks ago Thursday that it suffered a major security breach after suspending withdrawals for more than 14 hours that past Monday a few weeks ago in an incident that has annoyed some of its users, obviously, because of the company's opaque way of actually handling this incident. Now, in a statement posted on their website, the company said that attackers gained access to the accounts of 483 users that past Monday. The attackers stole around $34 million US, which was about 4,836.26 Ethereum and 443.93 Bitcoin Cash. Now, while the company did not go into the technical details of how it happened, Crypto.com assumed all responsibility and restored the stolen funds to the affected accounts. Basically, Crypto.com took it upon themselves to essentially take their own money and restore those accounts to mitigate the reputation damage. Remember, in cryptocurrency trading, there is nothing like the FDIC insurance you get by using a bank. Meaning, if I rob the bank and I steal your money, the government through FDIC insurance insures that money up to a specific amount. I believe it's $250,000. And so there is nothing like that in cryptocurrency. So crypto.com basically just took it on the chin and said, okay, we are going to restore $34 million. And since then, the company has also said it's been working to shift its two-factor authentication infrastructure to a new system. Obviously, that leads to speculation that their old system was vulnerable in some way, and therefore that's how the attackers got in. Now, as a result of this unexpected migration, all crypto.com users were asked that past Monday, basically throughout the week, to re-log in and reset up their 2FA option. So, if you use crypto.com and you haven't checked in a while, you definitely want to do that and make sure you're setting up all of those new security features to keep your investments more secure. Moving on, let's talk about Open Subtitles. Interestingly enough, I had no idea what this was, but this is a website that provides free subtitles for movie fans. I didn't know that was an actual thing on the internet, but it is. So they disclosed on January 19th that they were hacked last year, meaning 2021, and subsequently paid a ransom to silence the attacker about the break-in. Now, Open Subtitles said that the data of 6,783,158 users who registered on its site was stolen following the incident, and the exposed information included emails, usernames, and MD5 hashed passwords. MD5 is a very weak encryption methodology and very easy to break. And so by virtue of that, the site basically came out and said, and I quote their message, the site was created in 2006 with little knowledge of security, so passwords were stored in MD5 hashes without salt. And that is a huge problem. If you use Open Subtitles, one, amazing, because I had no idea this exists. Not that I know every website that exists on the internet, but wow, that's actually kind of cool. Number two, you definitely want to go check in and change that password. And if you use that password anywhere else other than Open Subtitles, go change it everywhere, because that is probably going to get cracked. Moving on, let's talk about VPN Lab, because an international law enforcement operation has seized the servers of VPNLab.net. This is a private virtual private network provider. I've talked about VPN in the past here, but these guys were advertising its services on the criminal underground and were catering to various cybercrime groups, including ransomware gangs, those I talk about a lot. Now, Europol said that it seized 15 servers operated by the VPN lab team in Germany, the Netherlands, Canada, the Czech Republic, France, Hungary, Latvia, Ukraine, the United States, and the United Kingdom. Now, no arrests have been announced, but the company's services were rendered inoperable, and its main website now shows a Europol seizure banner. And so, if you were using VPNlab.net, you might be listening to this, and you might be a cyber criminal. And if you just happen to be using it as a regular user, not realizing they were catering to essentially the people that were ripping the rest of us off, heads up, you definitely want to change to a better, more secure, more ethical VPN provider. Moving on, let's talk about the County of Sacramento in the state of California. Happens to be where Sacramento is, the capital of California as well. Thousands of records containing health information and hundreds more with personal identifiable information were exposed after a phishing scam involving Sacramento County employees last year came to light. Now, in a news release recently, county officials said that 5 employees gave out their official login information through an external website after receiving emails sent by an unknown attacker or attackers on June 22nd of last year. Now, during an audit of email boxes on November 17th, the county discovered that 2,096 records containing the protected health information and 816 records containing the personally identifiable information of people were exposed after the phishing scam. So if you are listening to me in and around the Sacramento County area and you live in Sacramento County, you might want to check in. Moving on. Let's talk about Jefferson Health, because they are notifying more than 9,000 patients whose personal information may have been exposed during a privacy breach late last year. Now, an unauthorized person accessed an online portal used by Jefferson staffers to submit billing information to Independence Blue Cross on November 18 and attempted to divert wire payments meant for Jefferson, according to the health system. On November 22nd, the investigation determined that the attacker, who impersonated 2 different employees, obtained a remittance sheet containing the billing information of 9,095 patients. The data included names, dates of service, treatment codes and costs, social security numbers, health insurance information, and financial account information were not involved in the breach. So heads up to you if you use Jefferson Health. Moving on, let's talk about the Vantage Healthcare Network, who administers business operations as a third-party vendor. They got hit as basically with ransomware this past October. And by virtue of that, now multiple healthcare networks have to declare. And what I've seen so far, and again, I missed the last couple of days, but in the last 2 weeks or so, Allegheny Health Network Home Infusion had to declare a data breach. And they are saying that nurses' notes, billing information, patient referral information, prescriptions, treatment and therapy records, medical device orders, and scheduling information were all hit as a result of Vantage Healthcare Network. So if you're a member of Allegheny Health Network Home Infusion or anything else that uses Vantage, you definitely are probably going to get notified at some point, or you might want to check in. Moving on, let's talk about the Red Cross. Yes, the International Red Cross. You see them in every war movie ever. They are obviously a huge international organization there to help with medical things, and this really sucks. But a cyber attack targeting a contractor working for the International Committee of the Red Cross has leaked confidential data on more than 515,000 highly vulnerable people, many of whom have been separated from their families due to conflicts, migrations, and emergencies, as well as disasters. Now, the Red Cross did not name the contractor, which we think, or know, I should say, is based in Switzerland, which it uses to store the data, nor are they saying what led to the security incident, but said that the data comes from at least 60 different Red Cross and Red Crescent national societies. And I'm pretty sure I know who the provider was in Switzerland, but because they're not saying it, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to obviously give you misinformation. Now, in a statement, the international organization pleaded with the attackers not to publicly share or leak the information given the sensitivity of the data. And so there we are. Hopefully the Red Cross will not have their information leaked. And that's seriously not cool. I mean, think about the hundreds of thousands alone that fled Syria that received Red Cross aid across the globe as they were trying to literally flee a war zone between the Syrian government, ISIS, and a whole bunch of other factions. And now they've got their information let out there. That's just not cool at all. Moving on, let's talk about NetGain. This is actually an update. If you recall, months ago, they had a data breach, and they are a cloud vendor. And so by virtue of that, any of their customers that were using their cloud services have to declare in the last couple of weeks. Intira Family Clinics out of Minnesota had to declare, due to NetGain, they have roughly 200,000 patients and individuals affected. So if you use Intira Family Clinics in Minnesota, heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about Italian luxury fashion brand Moncler. They had a ransomware hit, and in a press release, the company said that after the incident occurred in late December of last year, it had received a ransomware demand, which it rejected as it goes, quote, against its founding principles. In other words, Moncler did not want to negotiate with terrorists. Now, the published batch includes data on employees and former employees, quote, some suppliers, consultants, and business partners, as well as some customers registered in their database. No payment data was taken, according to Moncler, as the company does not store that kind of data on their infrastructure. The company did not provide further details on the data stolen or whether they could be used in identity theft scams. So heads up to you, if you shop on Moncler's website, the Italian luxury fashion brand. And finally, and we have a couple of different finalies for you today, I want to talk about Moon Bounce. And yes, I said Moon Bounce, because this is a new malware strain that can survive operating system reinstalls, and it was spotted last year secretly hiding in a computer, according to antivirus provider Kaspersky. And we'll dive into this, because this is actually rather important and a little bit terrifying. Now, the company discovered the Windows-based malware last spring running on a single computer. How the malicious code infected the system remains unclear, but the malware was designed to operate on the computer's UEFI firmware, which helps to boot up the system. And let's dive into that a little bit, because actually this is important. Now, this malware, as I said, is called Moonbounce. And it's especially scary because it installs itself directly into your motherboard's memory instead of the computer's storage device like your hard drive. So the malware can essentially remain even if you wipe out your computer.
And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.